The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
As you will have heard on the news, there was an attack in Moscow late last night, a concert hall. The latest that we have is that 93 people, according to the BBC, are dead. More than 140 have been wounded. Multiple gunmen opening fire in the Crocus City Hall in a suburb of Moscow, one of the main concert venues in Moscow. People running ahead of gunmen, as you heard during the report, shooting at people from a distance, from point-blank range, and reports that a flammable liquid was then used to set fire to sections of the concert hall. That last coming from the official state police services, who are saying that they are now inspecting the concert hall. Emergency services working to clear the rubble. Cause of death of the 93 victims found so far being gunshot wounds, and the attackers believed to have used automatic weapons and have left behind ammunition. Again, the BBC reporting ballistic, genetic and fingerprint examinations now being carried out. Now, of course, what has happened in the interim is that ISIL has claimed credit is the wrong phrase to use, claimed responsibility for this attack, because there was a brief flurry of analysis overnight as to who might be responsible. Some suggestions, mainly emanating from Russia, that it could be linked to the Ukraine war. That was quickly poo-pooed by the US and by Ukraine. And then we got a claim of responsibility from ISIS. I'm joined by Declan Power, security analyst. Declan, we had sort of, I think, become immune to the notion or used to the notion that ISIS was no longer a threat. This would suggest the opposite is the case.
Yes, it would. And it was ever thus. ISIS had been largely decapitated of its leadership as an organization in the last five or more years. But it was always expected that they would coalesce again and try and project themselves and attack their enemies, their perceived enemies.
And how did they manage to do this so successfully, Declan? Because one of the interesting things in the run-up to it is the American intelligence agencies had been warning that there might be such an attack in Russia.
Yes. Well, ISIS had an inability to be able to project itself outside its immediate territory. A cell or two of them functioning in the Arabian Peninsula for some time, but it was very localized, and their ability to maneuver outside was limited. And I think this proves something too. If they had the chance, they would have looked for a prestige target. I mean, the whole thing follows very much their modus operandi from 10 or more years ago. And they would probably have preferred a more prestige target in the West, but that has been more difficult for them to do because of the way intelligence is gathered and monitored with regards to groups like that, and lessons, hard lessons learned in places like France and the UK and other parts of Western Europe.
Because I would have thought, given the authoritarian nature of the Russian regime and Putin's background himself in the security forces and in the KGB, I would have thought they were fairly heavily involved and engaged in intelligence. Not so.
They are, but it was projected or targeted in a different direction. At the moment, Russia is on a war footing, all right, but it's focused on Ukraine and it's focused on the West, and would have been focused on the activities of Western intelligence agencies and people connected to that within Russia. The Russians have a reputation for being very blunt, not very sophisticated. And one of the questions your listeners are probably asking is, well, why Russia? And we forget that it's not that long ago, 2015, there was a Russian airliner blown out of the sky over the Sinai Peninsula with Russian holidaymakers returning from Egypt. And that was claimed by ISIS at the time. Also, Russia is the main bulwark, along with Iran, for propping up the Syrian regime, which, while the Syrian regime is an enemy of the West, but one of the many different types of forces ranged against it fighting in the civil war that still putters along there, would have been Islamic militants such as ISIS and such as Jamal Islamia and various other organizations. In addition to that, there was the war in Chechnya, which we in the West forget about. It was a vicious, nasty war. And Chechen Islamists haven't forgotten that. And there were two Chechen-inspired, Chechen Islamist attacks. The one in the school in Beslan some 20-odd years ago, And another attack on a Moscow theater that Russian special forces gassed first before they attacked. Now, in each of those attacks, there are two things that stand out and that show Russia as an ideal target for terrorists. One is poor intelligence gathering, protective intelligence gathering, in that the Russians didn't pick up on any chatter about these things. And secondly, the very blunt and hard-edged way they respond, where their own response forces end up killing nearly as many people as the terrorists. This happened in Beslan, and it happened in Moscow before. In the current attack, it appears that Russia was caught so off guard that the assailants managed to carry out their attack and appear to have escaped thus far.
Yeah, anyway. It's worth saying that some of the reporting is suggesting a bit of a he said, she said on that, in that ISIL is claiming that all of the attackers, quotes, escaped to their bases. Russian security forces are saying that I think four people have been arrested and that they are directly connected. But obviously, we'll get more detail as that goes. The one thing, Declan, that I'd be interested in your view on, though, is you mentioned the bluntness of the Russian response. And there's obviously the acute bluntness that we saw in the 2002 Chechen attack in the Moscow theater. What of the bluntness of the response that we're likely to see to this? Because there's no way Russia will stop at attempting to catch and prosecute those directly responsible. Who's going to be held responsible, and what will that mean in terms of Russian response now?
Well, the problem for the Russians is that they don't have a direct and immediate target to be able to focus on and to lambaste in order to satisfy the home audience. So I think, in fact, I'd be very interested. There are two things I'd be interested to know more detail about. One is the level and capacity of the Russian authorities' response to the attack while it was still taking place. It's not clear. Did they actually get to engage the attackers at all? As would have happened previously. I suspect it could be the case that those four people in custody, not much detail has been given. Are they supposed to be assailants? Are they people that are alleged to have been involved in the preparation and assistance that the assailants would have needed, who would have maybe provided safe houses for them to prepare and get ready to launch the attack? All of the essential things that a terrorist group needs to be able to function. I think you're probably going to see a number of people pulled in and into very public show trials who will be in the dock by virtue of their ethnicity and their religious loyalties, as opposed to any direct proof that they were involved in a terrorist attack, that the Russians will go out of their way to find scapegoats of that nature. And indeed, within the Russian apparatus, you'll probably see a few high-profile firings and things of that nature.
We'll obviously stay abreast of it throughout the show if anything else breaks, and I imagine it is something we will be returning to on various different programs throughout the week. Declan, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Declan Power, security and defence analyst.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.